My name is Gina Arenas, and I'm a program manager for the Office and SharePoint Developer Platform team. And today, I'm going to talk about migrating a SharePoint web part to an app for SharePoint app part. During this video, I will talk about the key differences between web parts and app parts, and I will show you an example of how to migrate a web part to the new app part model. But first, let's take a minute to go over some SharePoint extensibility history to set the context. If you have been developing web parts for a while, the idea of an app part in SharePoint 2013 needs little explanation. It's not the same, but the concept is very close. Looking back at SharePoint 2007, the common development approaches had a few challenges associated with them. Ultra solutions were introduced here and allow developers to write code that can utilize the SharePoint server-side API. This custom code was deployed to the server and required an IT pro with console access to upload the solution for deployment. In addition, server outages and most SharePoint errors could usually be tracked down to custom code deployed to the server. Today, these types of solutions are only available for SharePoint on-prem deployments. Sandbox solutions, also known as user code solutions or partial trust code, were introduced in SharePoint 2010. These types of solutions could be uploaded and deployed to the site by site collection administrators. But this flexibility came with some trade-offs, in that the code had to work with a subset of the full server-side API and was blocked from making external database calls or web service calls. Sandbox solutions are the only types of solutions that can be deployed today to SharePoint Online. SharePoint 2013 introduces a cloud-ready development model, called the Cloud App Model, that addresses the limitations of the solutions-based approach. Here, the code no longer runs in the SharePoint box. Instead, it runs either on the client or in an external server. Apps for SharePoint leverage support for auth, where apps can be granted permissions to do things within SharePoint, and even be packaged and sold through the public SharePoint store. Plus, there is an improved API surface with more capabilities in the client-side object model and REST APIs, with a clean lifecycle, install, upgrade, and install, very simple process providing a very friendly experience for end users and addressing common developer challenges of the solution-based approach. So, how do app parts fit in apps for SharePoint? Apps for SharePoint have, by default, a full immersive experience. This is the place where you go once you launch the app from the site contents page. Additionally, apps for SharePoint can also extend the UI in the host page in which they are installed, by means of custom actions and app parts. In that sense, app parts are a way for your app to surface some information or a small interaction point in the host web where the app is installed. End users can embed those parts in their pages by using the same web part adder experience. From the end user perspective, the experience is the same for adding and interacting with the part. An app part can have custom properties that are defined declaratively as part of its definition and execute custom client-side code if the app page is hosted in SharePoint, or .NET CSOM code if the app part page is hosted in the remote server. So, an app part is a container that enables you to surface content from an app in an iframe element. And this is actually a type of web part that is represented by the client web part class. Now that we have looked at SharePoint extensibility history, let's look at the key differences between web parts and app parts. Traditional web parts are directly installed onto SharePoint frontend servers, resulting in web part code directly being run on those servers. They run with user permissions or with full permissions, that's elevated privileges, and in the same domain and environment of the page and its content. How heavy is the code depends greatly on the web parts architecture. Some might be very thin and simply call web services, while others might take up a significant amount of CPU cycles performing complex operations. It is really up to the SharePoint administrator to properly provision the resources for the SharePoint front-end servers, and also verify the web parts that are installing are indeed safe to run. For those running SharePoint Online, many web parts simply don't run due to security controls needed in a cloud environment. App parts are different since their code is not running in their SharePoint box. App part code runs either on the client or in a remote endpoint. It runs with the app and not with the user identity. And it runs in a different domain. Also, since the code is not executed on the SharePoint box, SharePoint's performance is not impacted by them. And as parts of apps, they can be published internally or to Microsoft's public SharePoint store. There are four easy steps to follow if you want to move an existing web part to the Cloud App model. First, keep in mind that this is really not a one-to-one mapping of what you used to have using the SharePoint server-side OM. The web part might be using server APIs that are not available through CSOM, or it might be coded against services directly, and now all the calls have to go through the CSOM API. With that in mind, you have to think about the functionality of the web part in a holistic way and identify the path with minimum friction to satisfy the scenario. And for that, steps 2 and 3 are here to help. For step 2, depending on your web part scenario, you need to determine if it can run in the client or if it needs to run in an external server. The general rule of thumb is that if your app contains any type of intellectual property that you would like to protect, then it needs to run externally. Client-side code is very easy to reverse engineer. The third point is to choose the right set of client-side APIs. If you're doing a SharePoint-hosted app part, your CSAM flavor options are JavaScript, Silverlight, or REST. If you're doing a cloud-hosted app part, your options are .NET or REST. Which one you pick depends a lot on what you're comfortable as a developer. Finally, happy coding. Create an app in Visual Studio and take advantage of the cool new features like remote development against Office 365. Now, let's look at this process in action with an example. First, let me show you the web part I'm trying to migrate. This is a web part that is using the People Picker control and displays inline the user properties of the resolved user. I have a VM here that has SharePoint 2013 installed, and I have Visual Studio with a project that contains this full trust solution with a web part. In this project, I am using the People Editor. In the People Editor, I'm instantiating the different properties, and then once the user is resolved, in this try catch, I am calling the user profile services to retrieve the information for that user. I also have some helper functions here that allow me to render the information in the page. Now let's see this in action. Now here we are in the page. I'm going to enter a name and click intro. Once the user is resolved, I am going to get the information from the user profile service. And that's simple. Now let's go and look how to make this in an app part. Let's start from Visual Studio and create a new project. This project that I'm going to create is going to be an app for SharePoint 2013. Let's just leave it that as a name. And here, I'm going to select SharePoint Hosted. So as I mentioned before, the next step after interiorizing that there is not a one-to-one mapping from what I used to do in the web part is looking holistically at the functionality to be exposed in the app and determining the hosting model to use for it. In this particular case, since the app part is providing a custom visualization of data that is already provided and stored in SharePoint, it is very easy to go with the SharePoint hosted model. Now that the project is created, I can see that Visual Studio already deploys all the different pieces of my app. I can see here that it has the scripts, the different pages, images, and content. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to add a new client web part. An app part is an implementation of a client web part. The best way to think about it is that the term app part is meant for SharePoint end users, while the term client web part is used by developers to describe the implementation of an app part. One important thing to note is that the client web parts are supported under each of the 3 app hosting models. After we create the client web part, we have to select which is the page that is going to be hosted within that part. I'm just going to create a new page and go from there. Let's look at the web part element definition. In the client web part element, you will want to specify the following things. There's the name, which has to be unique for all the parts in your project, a title, that is the one that is shown to the end users in the app part adder, and the description and default width and height. With this client web parts, you can use dynamic resizing and change that width and height upon request. Now, I want to add a property to my web part. Let me bring that from a text that I had already created. I'm going to remove this content and properties, and I'm going to add the same thing with one of the properties that I had already pre-created. Notice here the URL. I'm using the token for the app web URL, and then I'm passing as query parameters the property that I have defined here, and also a bit to know if the web part is in edit mode or not. So that's all for my web part definition. Now let's look at the page that the app part will host. Visual Studio already has a script here that brings in the CSS from the page. I really don't need that. I'm going to remove all this code from the page and add some code that I have pre-created that basically brings in a lot of JavaScript files from SharePoint and creates some divs as placeholders where I'm going to put the information from the user. One important thing to notice here in the page is that I have this allow framing options. By default, SharePoint pages do specify that they should only be in an iframe within the same domain. So for pages that are hosted in SharePoint, you will have to opt out of that behavior and insert that markup into the page. Let's save it and go to the script. Again, Visual Studio already populates here some script, but I'm gonna completely remove it and add mine. Okay, so here I am with the JavaScript that I have created for this part. In the first part, I have a load the people picker function. Here, as I was doing in the other code, I'm setting the different properties for the people picker to work. And then once the user is retrieved, I am basically grabbing that information and I am making a call to the search service to retrieve the information from that given user. Notice the way that I construct the URL. I am using the same domain in which the app is hosted and then calling _API/search with the source ID that defines the user profile service. Once that data is retrieved, I parse that data to get the different fields that I want to display for that user and add them to the HTML. The last thing that I'm going to do is go to the app manifest file and request permissions to use the search service. I'm going to save that and deploy it into my Office 365 SharePoint Online tenancy. Now Visual Studio is going to package this project and send it over to my SharePoint Online tenancy. Once Visual Studio launches the app, it will ask the user to grant the permissions that the app is requesting. Notice that I have not really added any information to the launch page of the app, and I'm just going to go to the same experience of adding a different web part. I'm going to edit the page and insert the app part that we just created. I'm going to save the page. And we have the app part in the page. Now this app part not only retrieves the basic information from the user profile service, but also using search gives me a lot more information from that user. Thank you for watching this video. Please visit Reimagine SharePoint Development site at www.reimaginespdev.com.